I'm Nick.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Brian, and we're the hosts of the Epic Film Guys podcast.
With the live stream for The Cure coming May 17th, we want to know,
what's your story?
The live stream for The Cure is a charity event to raise money for the Cancer Research Institute for a future free of all forms of cancer.
It's also a celebration of those we've loved, those we've lost, and those who continue to fight.
This event is so much bigger than just our little show. It's about all of us and how we've been affected by cancer. Throughout the 40-hour live stream for The Cure, we'll be sharing your photos and stories so we can honor who we're fighting for.
Please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com/whatsyourstory and learn how you can share your story with us.
Together, we can make a difference. Dave, are you out there?
Is anybody out there?
I don't see him on... He DM'd me earlier because he said he was home. He had to go to South Carolina earlier. Did he?
We can do another 30 minutes if you want to.
I mean, you can hang out right where you are if you like.
I'll hang out with you, baby.
Let's see.
We can talk Arrested Development 2.0 right now if you want to. We can talk about the remix.
Oh my god, I am about halfway through Remix.
I got to think, yeah, episode 13 or so.
Oh, Dave just sent me a picture of the Riggs Rum Runner. This is a cocktail that we're going to be drinking on the show. He just sent it to me over on Twitter. So I'm guessing he's going to be getting into Discord here any moment. But super quick, because I guess he's on his way. Super, super quick. Thoughts on the Remix?
It's still the worst season out of the four. However, this is vastly improved. The only thing I get kind of confused on is timelines and stuff like that, like when everything is happening, because it feels kind of messy in that regard. But the storytelling is much, much, much better.
Yep. I agree 100%. I mean, it's literally, I could not have said it better myself. It's still the worst season. It still has Maria Bamford in it. It still has face blindness in it.
Ugh, yeah.
It still has some pretty cringe elements, but rearranging the episodes so that way when there is that plot that you're like, I don't really care about this plot, and then they bring back, you know, you just cut over to Buster or cut over to whomever else, and I'm digging their plot right now.
Yeah, it's much better this way. You don't get a huge overload. Like, a whole movie episode is absolutely overkill. You don't need that. Just splice her in a little bit for comic relief, and that's all she's good for.
Yeah, let's
Steve Holt! Your brother said he hasn't watched the remix yet. The remix is worth watching if you have nothing else to watch, and it's a good lead-in because Arrested Development Season 5 is dropping in like a week.
Yeah.
A little over a week.
It's good. It's good because there are those plots in the show where if you didn't like the plot that they were going with, like, think about the Lindsay episodes, especially in the original season 4. Jesus God, those were a drag to get through. But now...
Yeah.
They're intercut among, okay, there's a funny bit with Buster now. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not as bad, you know, because you're mixing it in with everything else and comparing it.
Since they were able to do this, why did they do season 4 the other way originally? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to try something different, see if they could get it to work or whatever the case may be. Oh, Dave needs an invite to join. Okay, I got to copy,
shit together.
Paste. Get your shit together, Nick. Damn.
Get it all in a bag.
Oh, I see shampoo is floating around in there. Loot Quest is going to be taking over the live stream for The Cure after Dave and I get done talking about Lethal Weapon.
Nice.
Dave, go ahead and jump into the on-the-air or off-the-air channels. He can't hear me. Why am I talking?
I don't know. You got to draw a winner, Nick.
Oh, yes, I do. Ladies and gentlemen, so they're going to win an Epic Film Guys mug and a Rabbit Ears TV podcast shirt. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner. God damn it.
What?
Dan Brennick, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't need you to DM me his contact. It's fine.
Are you sure? Do you need Dan's contact info?
I think I have it somewhere. Fucking winning. Oh, he got a return on his $20 investment at the beginning of the segment.
That is true. That is very, very true.
There you go.
How much is he celebrating over in the chat right now?
I'm a winner.
There he is.
I'm a winner. I knew it was me as soon as Nick went, God damn it.
I did too.
He calmed for about 5 seconds.
I had a feeling. Good job, Dave Bobby. Brennick,
who probably owns more EFG swag than maybe anybody but Patrick Sherwood.
No, I am.
We're going to say goodbye to Dan and Schley. Schley, I love you.
Bye.
Thank you for being here. You're amazing. Dan, I also love you. Here
you are. He can hear
here
you,
we
though.
Go. Let's get him down here. Ladies and gentlemen, joining the live stream for The Cure. And I think Justin should be coming back at some point. But we are joined, ladies and gentlemen, by Super Movie Brother Dave. Dave, how the hell are you, my friend?
What is up, my friend? How are you doing?
Oh, it's been a good day. It's been a great day, Dave. We have raised $3,770.
That's awesome, man. I've been watching the live stream from time to time and just watching that number go up, and I'm a proud papa, man. I am so proud of you guys.
Very happy. So amazing. So ladies and gentlemen, what I'm doing right now is I am posting an image over in the live stream. I don't really know where to post it because the layout doesn't really accommodate it, but whatever. I'll cut off my head. I'll put it right there. There we go. For now, I'll leave it there for right now. I'll probably make it go away in a moment. But Dave does a show called, aside from Super Movie Brothers, aka the Mexican knockoff of the Epic Film Guys.
That's right.
Called The Movie Cocktail. And on The Movie Cocktail, Dave, tell us what you do.
Yeah, so Movie Cocktail is a segment of SMB that we do once a month where we take a movie and then, we take a topic and then we have the four hosts each pick a film for that topic. We put the poll up on Twitter. People vote. The one that wins, we wind up doing an entire about 90-minute episode on that film. We discuss different aspects of it from our impressions, our earliest impressions on it, the film itself, and then some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And we make a cocktail to go along with it. So the cocktail is always themed towards the movie, something to go with it. And it's a lot of fun. And you wind up getting pretty drunk while you're doing it, which isn't that what podcasting is all really about?
That is really what podcasting is all about. So, Dave, you told me I didn't have to make the drink with you. I know you've got one. But
I
have all the ingredients to make one myself, which I need to go grab momentarily. So I'm going to go and grab my ingredients for the Riggs Rum Runner. While I do that, tell the audience what's in it.
Oh, absolutely. All right. So this drink is made with 1 cup of pink Moscato wine. That's right, gentlemen. You're going to get awfully pink at this one. 2 ounces of white or silver rum. 1/2 of an orange juiced. 1/2 of a lime juiced. 1/2 of a lemon juiced. And 1 teaspoon of grenadine. You serve this over ice, and as you see in the pictures, I do have some cold metal bullets that you can put in there. That's just to make it a little bit more rigified, if you will, for Lethal Weapon. It is extremely tart, depending on how much citrus you use. If you don't want to use a half of lemon, you can use a quarter of lemon, you know, whatever you're comfortable with, whatever gets, you know, if you don't like things that are too sour, Riggs, because, you know, all of Lethal Weapon 1, Riggs kind of has a death complex and really wants to commit suicide. And we don't want him to because we love him so much.
Oh, that is very, very true. So, Dave, I don't know if you actually are watching the stream.
I have been off and on. Yeah.
Well, I've been right here.
Oh, no. I don't have it on because I have my notes up on my phone, so I can't watch it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because you can't get Discord to work on your computer, right?
No, Discord's working on my computer. But if I have the live stream up, then I keep all my notes on my phone. Then I can't have my notes for this movie cocktail up.
All right. Well, what I got was, now my rum is not a white rum. I actually splurged a little bit and bought a little bit nicer of a bottle. Splurge meaning I spent like a couple bucks more. It's not like super fancy or anything.
Yeah, mine's just Bacardi Silver or Bacardi White, whichever they call it. Blanco. Oh,
nice. Blanco. This is this is Blackwell's Jamaican rum, and it's not spiced. I didn't want a spiced rum because I figured that would fuck with the flavor profile.
That's definitely gonna fuck with the citrus flavors. Yeah.
So, I also bought a sparkling Moscato.
The first time I made this, I made it with a sparkling Moscato. So you want to be wary, because to mix all the ingredients, I put it in a shaker. And the first time I didn't know I got a sparkling Moscato. It didn't erupt, but I felt the pressure in it. So when I took the top off, it made a less like right in my face.
I need to grab a shaker.
So there's definitely two types of Moscato. You have a sparkling, and then you have just your regular pink Moscato. So make sure if you're going to be using a shaker, you want to get the regular pink Moscato, not the sparkling.
I should aim it right at both of my computers, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you want to make sure that you that if you're using sparkling, you just stir it. It could be a little bit of James Bond, shake it, not dead.
You need a schlop?
You need a schlop. Coming up next, stay tuned.
We're going to be talking about loot quests next, but we're going to be talking and doing an RPG adventure next on the stream. But I got to tell you as Vizisk in episode 5, just randomly in the background gambling is probably one of the funniest fucking things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that was... So I'll be honest. For that episode, I didn't really know what was going to be going on with my character, and I could have stood next to Double D, who's played by Caleb from the Netflix and Swell podcast. I could have stood next to her the entire time throughout the adventure, and then pretty much done nothing. So I decided last second to give Vizis a little bit of an Achilles heel, and it was gambling. So it was a lot of fun just while they're in mid conversation to just randomly shout out what's going on with my gambling.
Damn hilarious. And I agree. Drew Hallam over in the chat just said that he's been enjoying every episode and loving every episode. I'm right there with him. I love Loot Quest, and I really have to take my hat off to Shampoo every time I get the opportunity, because the way he edits the show together keeps it moving at a brisk pace. I love the sound effects. I love everything else he adds to it.
I feel bad.
It's amazing.
Every time I record, I just feel bad because I'm just laughing in my head. And I was like, you're just going to have so much editing this, and no, I don't actually have to deal with it.
I pre-squeezed all of my citrus.
Look at you.
And all I have to do is just add probably about a half a cup, give or take, of citrus.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, it's all mixed. Right, what mine wound up being for each half of those squeezed was about a tablespoon or two. You can get away with a little bit more orange juice because that's not as sour or citrusy as the lemon or the lime. That's what I said. I mean, that stuff, that's all to taste. If you make it and it's too sour, down one of the citrus fruits. See how it goes. Experiment. That's what Super Movie Bros and Movie Cocktails all about. Experimenting with your drinks, experimenting sexually, experimenting with some slaps.
So now, Dave, before we get into Movie Cocktail, and I know I don't want you to get into too much detail if you don't want to, but this event means a little bit something more special to you than it normally would this year. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'll get into the pink drink after this, but I'm supposed to be joining Loot Quest after this. Unfortunately, I'm just not really up to it. I just got back from a long drive, and I did just lose a member of my family. Now, I can't really point a finger and say cancer did it, because unfortunately, this gentleman had renal failure, emphysema, along with cancer. So it was kind of like a trifecta. And I lost my grandfather earlier this week. So I was down in South Carolina, and had a long drive. So I'm just not up to what's going to be going on next with Loot Quest. Sounds like a lot of fun, but my body is tired. And trust me, these drinks are putting me to bed. That's definitely going to happen.
I just spilled a little bit of it on my leg. But fortunately,
as long as it's not the keyboard.
So I think, and I've actually got the picture of it right below me holding it up on the live stream. I think I actually got pretty damn close.
Yeah, the teaspoon of grenadine. I mean, that really, first off, it's Riggs and Lethal Weapon, so it simulates blood. But also, it really punches that pink note in it, which is, I'm using pink because my mother has had breast cancer and my grandmother died of breast cancers. So I hate all cancer, but breast cancer kind of most of all. So I wanted to make a drink that was pink to support breast cancer. I myself had melanoma, super treatable. That's great. But I had that at the age of like 10. So like anybody can get cancer. So one of the things I wanted to stress before we got in is like, get yourself checked. If something looks weird, feels weird, doesn't hurt to ask. If it's a copay is nothing compared to your safety and well-being and stopping something before it starts. Yeah. Women, play with your boobs. Get your mammograms. Dudes, you're touching yourself anyway. Feel around on the sack. See if there's anything weird. If it feels weird, go to a doctor. Say something.
I was worried when I was going to try this that it was going to be a little bit too sweet. Now, I will say that my oranges compared to my lemons and limes, I got massive ass oranges. So I probably
I got navel oranges, which are large. Yeah. I prefer those. I got small lime, and a pretty small lemon. So those are usually pretty tart. But what's nice is it's tart up top. And as you get closer to the bottom, that tartness mixes with, now I say grenadine, but I actually use maraschino, cherry juice because it's a little less sweeter than grenadine. Grenadine's pretty much maple, simple syrup dyed red. Yeah. So I use maraschino cherry juice because for me, it has a little bit of like this, this toned down sweetness to it. So I use that. So when you get to the bottom of it, that sourness and that sweetness kind of like mix together, and it makes it real nice.
So Shampoo just dropped a $5 donation in the stream and said, after hitting it big on the slots, I wanted to share the wealth. Dude, I shit you not. And we got to talk Lethal Weapon here after this, but I shit you not, I have been crying laughing, especially on episode 5 of Loot Quest, because like it's so hilarious to just all of a sudden, like the plot's going on and he's doing the plot, and then all of a sudden he just cuts you in the background being like, oh my god, I'm winning so much money, this is amazing, these robots are broken.
Yeah.
So goddamn
I don't know funny. Why I just felt like all the dealers would be droids, and then that they would all be, because it's Tatooine. Nothing works on Tatooine, right? Like, not even the dealer droids work on Tatooine.
And Drew Hallam, 225 more in donations tonight, and he will take a shot of that moonshine.
Drew.
He will take a shot of that moonshine if we can get 225 more.
Oh my god.
Get it in there.
Drew, that is huge. Like, thank you so much for doing that, and it's you have no idea what it means.
Loosen up those purse strings, folks, because I want Drew to drink.
Because we're getting drunk. I want everybody to make more drinks right now. Get drinks. I got a beer with me too, so I'm drinking this cocktail, and I also have a beer with me too. So I'll probably wind up reaching into my purse for another donation.
You're here for another reason, though. You're here for another reason, and that's to talk Lethal Weapon 1 and 2.
Yeah, man.
Oh.
Richard Donner, and then you also have you also got the writing stylings of Shane Black. Like, come on now. I mean, this is the quintessential 80s buddy cop film. Like, parodies of buddy cop films wouldn't exist if this movie didn't exist. A lot of films in the 90s wouldn't exist. This film didn't exist. This is just the absolute epitome of what a buddy cop film is, and the epitome of what an 80s action film is. And I dare anybody to talk to me and tell me that Die Hard is better.
Well, you do not have to convince me, sir, as is well known within the Podfix network. Lethal Weapon 2, for me, went as the number one 80s action movie in the 80s action movie draft.
Part of the reason I wanted to do this.
Because I love the Lethal Weapon franchise. I even enjoy 3 and 4 for what they are, and I don't think they're completely devoid of merit, except for Jack Travis in fucking 3. Jesus, he's a terrible villain.
Yeah, I can't watch 4 a lot. I don't like 4 really at all. 3 is okay, but I mean, 1 and 2 are the main phase, and they go hand in hand, man. Yes. It's like Rocky 1 and Rocky 2. Like, they just go together. Like, 2 pretty much picks up right where 1 left off.
Yeah.
In their relationship. And it just it they go so well together because they were made by the same people with the same sensibilities. Everything felt the same going into it, just more because you get Leo Getz, and whatever you want, Leo Getz. Who was hands down my favorite character in 2. I absolutely love, Leo Getz in 2.
I love Leo. So let me ask you a question then. So Lethal Weapon 1 or 2?
I go with 1. Mainly because I like the headspace of Riggs. I like seeing that level to his character. And I like seeing the turn. Like I like that he's kind of like the Joker. I mean, he feels like he's got nothing left to live for. So he either laughs at the world or tortures himself. Like it's a very strange, it's not something I can relate to. Like I can't say I relate to it, but Mel Gibson playing it is certainly great to watch and great fun, but also kind of like heartbreaking at the same time. I mean, 2 has some heartbreak in it, but I really feel like 1 is where like it shines, like his character of Riggs shines. I think Danny Glover really shines in 2. I think Murtaugh is the big draw in 2. So,
well, in Lethal Weapon 1, what Lethal Weapon 1 manages to do, and think about Riggs. Okay, the first time you meet him, he walks out into the school ground to thwart a sniper, and he breaks up the drug bust at the Christmas tree farm. Okay,
well, deleted scene, the sniper at the school, man.
Oh, yes, true.
Director's cut.
I watched the director's cut whenever I watched it. That's why.
Director's cut. So actually, if you've never watched a director's cut, your first introduction to Riggs is the cocaine bust at the at the Christmas tree stand, which a lot of people never realize. Lethal Weapon takes place during Christmas. Yeah. Everyone always goes to Die Hard, and it's like Lethal Weapon took place during Christmas too. Yeah.
She jumps off the top of the building to Jingle Bell Rock, baby.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And plus, this was one of the first sets of boobs I saw as a kid.
Which, yeah. She's got.
I'm nice sorry sense. that it ended the way that it did. I'm sorry that it scarred me a little bit.
Perverted.
Yeah.
But for me, so that's literally, even if it's not the director's cut, so that's the only taste you get of Riggs. That's it. And then the next time you get him is he's home by himself with Max. And I love his dog too.
Oh yeah, his dog Max, and I forget what the, I think dog is just the name of the second one that he gets, the Rottweiler, and
just 1,000% sells. I mean, think of the pain that Mel Gibson emotes in that scene where he's literally just pouring tears, and he shoves that gun into his mouth, and then he just winces and he can't do it, and he pulls the gun out of his mouth, and he like haphazardly wipes the tears from his eyes with the gun in his hand, and you know, he's holding the picture of Victoria, his dead wife, in his hands. You don't know anything about this character yet.
All while Bugs Bunny is playing on the TV. Which really shows you the duality of Riggs.
Yes.
Yeah, it shows you the duality of him right there. Like obviously he has a lot of Three Stooges. Yeah, Three Stooges references throughout with him. So I actually love that scene for that. And when we did Lethal Weapon for a live show at Broken Goblet, that was actually one of my trivia questions. And a lot of people raised their hand and were like, Three Stooges is on the TV? And I was like, nah, it's actually Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, because you're so used to, for the rest of the entire franchise, whenever you see him watching TV, it's Three Stooges. That's why people immediately default to it. And then he has that one, I forget, which movie is it in? He's like, oh, it's 2, when he shoots the fish tank in the office. He's
Eeny, Miney. Eeny,
Miney. Hey, Mo! Hey, Mo!
Yes. Yeah, I absolutely, like, it's one of the few films that, like, it mixes action, comedy, drama just so well, which is one of the things, like, I feel like they try to do in 3, but the comedy kind of falls flat, feels a little bit too slapsticky. The action is great, and the drama feels forced as well, but like with 1 and 2, it's all just so pure. It's just so well done.
What they tried to do, unfortunately, with Lethal Weapon 3 especially, was because they wanted to make it about gang violence in Los Angeles, because that was, you know, the mid-90s.
That was in the zeitgeist. That was on the media. Yeah. That was in the news.
That was the big thing. So they wanted to make it a huge, huge point of the movie. And I mean, nothing for nothing, but I'll say this about 3. We're not really talking about 3 too much tonight, but I will say it's probably been my favorite Danny Glover performance out of all of these films. I love him in Three, because Danny Glover shows a range in that film that he rarely shows as an actor. He usually... I love Danny Glover. Do not get me
wrong. Are you sure there wasn't range in... Yeah, and Apartheid, you dumb son of a bitch. That is one of my favorite scenes, which is completely set up in the first one, because on the refrigerator, he has a bumper sticker that's on refrigerator that says, like, end tide now on it. But, and then, like, that becomes the main plot of two. but, sir, you blick.
Oh, he is.
I am.
He is black.
I love the chemistry between Riggs and Murtaugh, I think, is like, if you think about films, and even there are any number of different films that they just don't get it this good. This is probably one of the best examples of cinematic chemistry between two characters. And even when they do stuff together nowadays, like they presented Richard Donner with some kind of Lifetime Achievement Award or whatever, like a year or two ago. And they went up on stage together, and they were still hilarious. Just together, the two of them together is amazing.
To this day, like, because of Lethal Weapon, not so much Mel Gibson, because he blew up and became really huge, you know, especially in the 90s. But because of Lethal Weapon, when I see Danny Glover, I keep it on, because I just want to see him. I don't know what it is about him. I even like Predator 2 to an extent because of him. Like, but like, especially things like Royal Tenenbaums. Like, I loved him in that. I've even watched Badasses with him and Danny Trejo. Gone Fishing.
I just
stop me before I go too far.
I love both of them. You know what? It's every moment of these films to me, though, I really think is. It connects. It just the deepening of the relationship between these two amazing characters. And I think the only reason to answer my own question, I would put two above one, if only because I'll be that guy. I don't like the Riggs Joshua fight at the end of the film. I don't.
Oh,
like it.
I absolutely love that. I mean, it's completely ridiculous and outlandish the fact that the police would stand by and just allow this to happen. But I mean, like at one point, Murtaugh does say, hey, my house, my rules. You stand back, you stay out.
That's not even why I dislike it. I dislike it because I feel like it's kind of Christopher Nolan in the Batman movies he made, actually, type shot. It's way too many cuts.
Yeah, it is. It is that.
It doesn't really. It's not really as raw as it wants or purports to be, because
I love Riggs' demeanor in that scene when he's just looking at Mr. Joshua when he's looking at Gary Busey, and he's just like, "What do you say? You want a shot at the title?"
Yes. I'll give you that. I'll definitely give you that. And of course, that was, you know, Gary Busey is super fucking menacing in that movie.
Oh my god, when he burned, like that first scene where you really get to like see him and they're burning his flesh, like, and he's just standing there taking it, and I was like, fuck. I would have been no. I remember putting my hand on a hot car at work once. I went like, ow, god damn it. And like in my head I flashed to that scene of Mr. Joshua just taking it for like 30 seconds, and I was like, I'm not a man.
Yeah. Oh, what an amazing
one question amazing I always scene. Like to ask people is at the end of two. We know two kind of ends on a cliffhanger, right? Like Riggs is all shot up. Diplomatic immunity has just been revoked. And Riggs is laying there and he's coughing up blood. He's been shot at least 8 times. And he refuses the cigarette. It was there any doubt in your mind that he was going to live if you didn't pick up a three? Do you think
he wasn't supposed to initially, right?
He was not, right? It was supposed to kind of be like the character can't come full circle in the fact that he had given up. He had given up trying to kill himself. Yep. He was willing to live his life again. And now he was kind of given his ultimate gift.
Family.
Right. And he was given his ultimate gift in the end at an inopportune time. Right. Like he's always wanted to die. And now it's come at this inopportune time. And yes, originally he was supposed to die. And I believe the studio wanted to keep it open ended if in case they ever came back for a sequel, which they obviously did. And then they barely address his near death right? Like, I would have actually preferred, like, Lethal Weapon 3 to have begun, like, in the same way, like, Rocky 2 begins, where, like it's them going to the hospital minutes after the fight. Like, I would like to see Riggs getting loaded up into the ambulance and kind of, like, dealing with that emotion of Riggs, of, like, yeah, yeah. That, like, but instead, like, we pick up and it's just a barrel of laughs in the first few minutes of Lethal Weapon 3. It's just like, it's them as beat cops because they just blew up a building trying to save a cat.
Your feet are killing me too. Well, how could my feet be killing you? Because I got to hear you bitch about it all day.
But yeah, I mean, I think it just really, why these films really stand the testament of time and why I can watch them with my wife now, because she started watching the TV show, which the main actor had just been fired from and has been replaced by Sean William Scott, for better or worse. Stifler. I don't know. Yeah, I don't watch the TV show.
According to what I read, though, they haven't recast him. He's not going to play Riggs, though. He's going to play
a
new partner. Yeah, he's
playing a new partner. Yeah. So, so my wife started watching that, but she had never seen the original one. So it was a great joy to me to sit there with my wife and watch, you know, all four of these films and like, be completely validated when she's like, I didn't like 3 and 4 that much, but 2, 1 and 2 were great. And I was like, right. And you know, it really shows why these films like can stand the testament of time. And it's not anything other than the two characters themselves who put the movie on their backs and carried the whole way through. Yeah. It all goes back to them. And it's great, well-written action, and it's great character. And stories aren't deep, and I don't think they need to be, as long as you're crafting interesting, deep characters around the story. It really doesn't matter how deep your story gets, as long as the character itself is interesting. And I think that that's what these films are. I mean, they're action films with action film plots with, you know, it's weird, almost like indie film, like indie drama sensibility to the characters. And I love that.
There's so much more we could talk about with Lethal Weapon. And I don't mind keeping you over at least for just a few minutes, because we're just
going to talk about
Loot Quest
end here. Yeah. Let those guys sit and wait and twiddle their thumbs. They got a meta game anyway before they get on. And they're probably doing that right now in their own chat. Oh, my God. See, and that just reminded me of one of my favorite scenes in 1, which we didn't talk about. You want to jump? You want to jump? Fine, let's jump. Oh.
That's the moment when Murtaugh realizes that you're not trying to draw a psycho pension. Yeah. You really are crazy.
You son of a bitch. You really are crazy. Because yeah. I love that when he drags him into the storefront across the street and he's like, you son of a bitch. You really want to kill yourself here? No, put it in your mouth so you don't miss. And most people, like, it's one of the things that, like, it took me a few times watching it to realize that, like, Riggs doesn't balk on shooting himself. He does. He only survives because Murtaugh jams his thumb in the hammer, and you even hear Murtaugh go, ow! Like, it took me a few times watching it, and I was like, oh shit, motherfucker was about to paint the wall with his brains.
Yeah.
Like, he was.
He really would have done it, and then Roger saved him. You know?
Yeah. And absolutely.
That's one of those moments in their relationship where, you know, I think they both gain a much greater understanding of each other, and that's where they really start to grow together as a pair of characters, to where,
hey, Rod, you know, mind if I bring your friend to dinner? I do love the ending, too. Burbank the cat's not going to like this.
One of my favorite gags is Rianne's condom commercial in 2. Cops never let up. There'll be rubbers in the coffee, rubbers in the desk, rubbers, 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 rubbers. And then Riggs goes, well, you know how cops are, Raj, in 1 ear out the rubber.
And then he's also doing that thing where he's just like, come on, guys, lay off. I mean, the guy's having a rough time. And as he's saying it, he's putting pictures of her commercial up. And like,
are you thinking about 4? Are you thinking about 4?
Is that 4?
Because where he does the thing when he's in his underwear and he's flapping
his arms. That is 4, where he's talking, telling her to lay off of him.
I will definitely agree, 3 and 4 are not the films that 1 or 2 are.
Oh, the opening to 4 is movies. Hilarious.
It's so amazing, because literally, like, he that's after they get made captains, and he comes out and he's like, this is your captain speaking. if I ever find out who's doing this, I'm going to kick his ass. And meanwhile, he's retaping another picture of him in his fucking underwear.
But short hair Riggs is not a Riggs. Out. Not a Riggs. I want to know.
Sorry. Thank you very, very much. But to Lisa and Sam from the I Shake My Head podcast, $38.77 donated. You guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. It was amazing to have you guys on the show. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Now, Dave, $3,800, 76%
of the way there. Oh, man, when I donated, I'm the one that pushed it over to 37. So in just under an hour, man, $1,000. Under an hour.
It's just amazing, man.
You are the highest paid. You are the highest paid podcaster right now.
It's not going to my PayPal though.
It's all going to charity.
All of it goes directly to the Cancer Research Institute, so that way you can get your receipts and you can claim it on your taxes.
Awesome,
man. My stream health stream. Chat, let me know how the stream health is looking right now. I'm watching my OBS and the quality seems to keep kind of dipping in and out. It looks like I keep dropping frames. I'm wondering if I shouldn't probably reset my internet before we do more Loot Quest.
Now, are you going to be joining them for Loot Quest, Nick?
See, here's the thing. They decided, for whatever reason, to do a completely different game system.
So, yeah. I don't know why.
I had no time to learn it or prepare for it or do anything for it. So I have no idea what they're doing.
Well, I mean, so for Loot Quest, like, I've never played, as nerdy as a guy as I am, I've never played a tabletop RPG a day in my life. I just never had friends that were in it, never had people around me that would show me the way. Yeah. And I'll say, like, extremely intimidating to get into. Your first playthrough though, after 10 minutes,
yeah,
it's not about the rules. It's just about having fun.
I've played tabletop like literally for most of my life, especially DMing. I've been a DM for, you know, years and years and years. I've run like countless games of stories that I've written myself. I really, really love to write D&D games and whatnot, but I like they were switching over to a new game system and they just started like there were just walls and walls of text and links to books and all sorts of things. And I was like, I have no time to figure this out. So I hope
I can jump into and
figure out.
And that's when I did the math and I was like, well, Dave, you'll get home around 8 o'clock at night. You'll make the cocktail. You'll jump on the live stream and you won't have slept for like 23 hours. And at that point, you're probably not going to want to game for 2 to 4 hours. You're just not going to want to do it. It's just not going to be in you. It's not going to be in your person. You're going to pass out. And I have on a live stream. It wasn't really like a live stream, but Caleb was running like his own like little side episode thing. And I jumped in about halfway through their game and I played for about 2 hours with them. And I literally passed out on the microphone and came to at the very end. Like at the for the final boss fight, I woke up for some reason.
My brother in the chat, sticking my dick in the keyhole. My brother used to play when I used to run games and stuff like that. And my brother one time, you know, if he had enough time in the chat, he could tell the story of how he would fuck every innkeeper. They were bad guys, right? So he would fuck every innkeeper in every town that he went to. So I concocted an STD that his character contracted that eventually killed him.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he had to trap his soul. So I made a way out for him so he could still kind of keep his old character. He could trap his original character's soul in a magic jar, and then he had to find a way to get it back out and put it into a new body. he fucked everything that moved. But that's not nearly as bad as one time when we were playing, and we got to get Loot Quest in here in just a moment. I promise, Shampoo, we'll get you in here in a moment. But one of my buddies, who is a fucking idiot, was playing as a paladin. Now, paladins are lawful good characters, okay? They're in a town, and they're searching around, and they find a door. They find a house that a door is fucking locked. So the fucking idiot's like, I'm kicking the fucking door in, and I'm just like, I just look at him, I'm just like...
What you just literally described exactly what Vizisk would do.
Yeah, but Vizisk isn't a lawful good paladin.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
So as soon as he picked up the dice, as soon as he dropped the dice, I'm like, you disappear and you reappear in like a room. Just, it's completely white all around you. You can't see anything. I made him fight. He was level 3 or 4 at the time. I made him try to fight a level 8 vampire to keep his paladin hood just because he was a fucking idiot. He got his ass kicked.
That is absolutely amazing. Oh, man. I know it was a very brief discussion on Lethal Weapon. Me and Nick could probably talk for 2 hours, oh God, 3 hours on Lethal Weapon. I will just drop a little line for myself. If you want to check out more Lethal Weapon content, Super Movie Brothers did do a live show at Broken Goblet for Lethal Weapon where we do trivia for it. So you can play the trivia along with us. Go over and check us out on iTunes or on Podbean, and you can find that live show. And make sure you guys are clicking that donate button if you're enjoying the content.
Please.
If you're a person who has a heart. I mean, I just told you like 3 stories, personal stories of my own about cancer. Your donations help go to fight that from ever happening again. So I want everybody to donate too. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're all drinking the cocktail. This cocktail will be on moviecocktail.com.
I'm drinking it. I'm going to drink it until my ingredients are gone.
Yeah, it's I filled an entire shaker, so I've poured all that out. So I pretty much had 3 glasses of it, plus this disco funk beer that I'm drinking as well. so I'm pretty toasted. So head over to www.podfixnetwork.com, click that movie cocktail part of the menu, and check out all the rest of the cocktails we have available. And Nick, man, thanks for having me.
Dude, it's absolutely my pleasure. I always love talking to you about movies. I absolutely do. You and I
don't know, any reason for me to make a cocktail. I'm literally like out there just looking for them now. Just, I love doing it.
I love that you have the movie cocktail because I think it's a really unique. I think it's a really, really awesome and great idea. This is actually pretty damn good. I really like this.
It's really hard to be innovative with movie podcasts. There's so many of us out there. There's a lot of us out there. I mean, me and you joke that me and you are very similar and stuff like that. And I hope even though we talk about the same things, our content is different enough.
I think it's different enough, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, movie cocktail is something once a month that I can do where it's like, I'm not just recording my voice. Like, I'm putting a part of myself into something that other people can quite literally enjoy and imbibe inside their own body. So it's like I get a chance to be creative a little bit. And I do have a night school degree in mixology, which took me all 3 months to get. Thank you. Summer of 2008. So it's just one thing that I can actually make and put like a physical stamp on like me doing this, because so much of podcasting is digital, and it's nice to do something that's physical and say like, this is something I made that other people can enjoy, and I hope people are getting out there and trying them for themselves. And if not, you know, come to my house, I'll make them for you. I don't care who you are. Well, Dave, can you tell I'm toasted?
I mean, toasted. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here. I do want to express my sincerest condolences to you. That's incredibly sad, and I want to thank you for still making the time to show up here on the live stream for The Cure. You definitely didn't have to, and
man,
it
this
means
was
the world to me that you
this
came
was
on
Patch and Adams therapy for me, man. Like, I just getting on and doing something that just feels
you just
so
wanted
normal
to drink
to
some
me.
Rum Runners, didn't you?
I did, but like just doing something that feels normal to me, like being behind a microphone and just having laughs with a friend, it does wonders. It makes you feel so much better. And laughter's the best medicine for anything. But finding a cure for cancer, that cures it for good.
Yeah.
So donate, motherfuckers.